Morning, everyone. My name is Vince. I'm going to try and get you ready for this morning. You all come running in, you know, frantically trying to get here, but your brain's kind of all over the place, right? So I'm just going to encourage you, just take a deep breath. For generations, we've used breath to calm ourselves, to be in spaces. And sometimes it would have been ritualized. We maybe would have kneeled, or we would have walked through a certain passageway. But it's designed to get us from all the other things in your day, all the other things in your life, all the things you had to get through to get here. So the invitation today is to be here. Let go of what's going on in your past. For those of you who are new, welcome. It's not going to be weird. Well, maybe a little bit weird, but not too weird. We're not going to ask you to do anything. You can be there and be quiet. Can you feel the energy in the room kind of start to settle? There's this way that we talk about. I'm going to use kind of airy-fairy language, but we open our hearts. Just be ready to embrace what comes in this morning. To let what happens in. We're going to bring you one of our prophets in the world. Her name's Taylor Swift. But she writes the perfect song for this moment. So my encouragement for you is to open your heart and let the words in.
Beautiful. Thank you guys. Beautiful music. It's never too late to get it back, isn't it true? I want to believe that. You know, there's a voice in my head. I don't know about you, but man, that voice in my head gets talking to me sometimes. Over the last number of years, the voice has had this repetitive thing it keeps bringing up for me personally. And it's around my dad. Yeah, I go to call, and my dad lives up northern Alberta. And I go to pick up the phone and call him, and this voice in my head says, "You sure you want to do that?" My parents were divorced, so I didn't really spend a lot of my growing up years in high school, junior high, elementary with my dad. We reunited, really, when I was in university. I see him every year, don't get me wrong, but I went up and moved in with him when I was about 19. And we got to know each other really well. We were close. We golfed together. Our faith journey and spirituality was very closely aligned. So we would have these conversations all the time. We would chat about everything. Tight. And then a number of years back, my journey started just kind of heading in a little bit different direction. I started questioning things that I had grown up with, shared beliefs that we had. And I wanted to talk with my dad about it. And every time we got together, it would create in him a reaction that was not, I was just not expecting or hoping for. And in fact, every time we had a conversation around our spirituality, it would always leave strained. And then over time, there were just big things that we just never talked about anymore. And so I would be down here in Calgary and I'd think, man, I want to chat with Dad. And that voice in my head would start saying, "Don't do it. He's disappointed, Jeff. He's not happy with you." And I would think, yeah, you're probably right. It's like, you know how that's going to end, Jeff. So I put down the phone, and sometimes we would go weeks without talking. And it was killing me, because I'm like, I miss my dad, but I'm like, I just don't want to upset them anymore. And do you ever get that voice working in your own head, telling you, convincing you of things, talking to you about perhaps a situation? It just brings it up. Sometimes you don't even realize what it's saying. Come on, man. Why would you say that? It can say that right in your ear when you're in the middle of a conversation. You're like, oh, gee. Can't you see they're laughing at you? It can whisper. Look at her. She is really upset at you. What kind of mom are you? Are you kidding? Get your act together. These are the things that voice can whisper. Look at them. They're never grateful for anything you do. Why do you even bother? What does your voice sound like? Or voices? So much has been written about these voices in our head. Ethan Cross, he's a psychologist, an author. He warns in a book he wrote, giving in to those voices, they can tank your health. They can sink your mood. They can strain your social connections and cause you to fold under pressure. Isn't it true? I know personally that the voice in my head has caused me to put down the phone more times than I want to admit. It's gotten me riled up. Gotten me disoriented. The things that I know I want to do, it makes me second guess. Cross says the good news, though, is that we're already equipped internally with the tools we need to make our inner voice work in our favor, to make peace with it or them, keep them from disrupting our lives, to find internal freedom. That's what we want to talk about this morning, folks. How do you do that? How do you bring peace to the war within? We've been talking a lot about war lately, the wars that we've been waging. A lot of people waging wars with friends, coworkers, clients, competitors, neighbors. I'm telling you, of all the wars you'll wage in your lifetime, probably none will compare to the war that you can wage internally with that voice. So this morning we want to talk about ways to tame that thing, to find internal freedom. We think Easter has an incredible, powerful theme of freedom, finding freedom. So there's practical wisdom we're going to share with you that current science is talking about, but there's also this incredible ancient ritual that our spiritual ancestors have engaged in on the regular, because they knew the power of that voice. And this ritual had this incredible ability to kind of turn the tide, to calm the mind and bring peace. So we're going to engage in that. We're going to invite you to be a part of that. You know, it's funny. I never really noticed the voice going on in my head. I didn't know that there was one. I just thought that that's just me. Just having conversations with myself. In fact, when I talk with people, often they go, actually, I don't think I have one of those, Jeff. No, you're a little strange that way. You should get some help. It can be so ingrained that we don't even know it's there and what it's doing. A woman was with her therapist one time. She said, man, every time I get to get together with my family and I listen to my brother start talking, I get so upset. And he says, well, how do you know you get upset? She says, what do you mean? She says, no, how do you know you get upset? She says, well, I can tell. I'm just getting upset. He says, what part of you is observing what's going on? She says, I don't know, just me. He says, the part of you that's observing, that's actually you, ma'am. that's you. You observe some part of you that's getting upset. So then he asks the question, what part of you gets so upset when your brother starts talking? And it was in this moment when the therapist separated and said, there is, it's like a little devil sitting on your shoulder. You know what I'm talking about? And it just gets fired up. I don't know about you, but I can be getting ready to head out the door to go to work, and within a 3-minute span, my internal voice notices a spot in the carpet that needs to be cleaned. I notice the recycling that hasn't been taken out and I thought it was being done. I walk outside and the neighbor's getting ready to go on another vacation, and all of a sudden that thing in my head is going, why haven't you booked? I get into my truck and I am just worked up. That's the voice. If you're sitting here saying, I don't think I got one, the very thing that's telling you you don't got one is your voice. You got one. But it's separate from you. It's not actually you. There have been times when I've had an argument with Kathy, and it gets heated up, and then she goes in her direction, I go in mine, and there's deep down inside, there's something that's saying, Jeff, end this. It's time. This is stupid. And I'll go to do that. And then the little devil, the voice starts saying, she's more wrong than you. Have you ever had that? Don't you go in the pot. You let her come to you. You freeze her out, Jarvis. That's how the voice works. Let me ask you again. What does your voice sound like?
There's a story from our tradition about Jesus. He walks into a town one day and he sees a person. The person, we don't know a lot about them, but they are living a life of pain. It says there's these things inside of them that are beating them up, telling them things that maybe aren't true. You're a piece of crap. No one loves you. You screw up all the time. In their language, the person is possessed. And understand it. Because as Jeff does this thing where he says, okay, there was us, and now all of a sudden there's the part of us that is thinking, and the part of us that's freaking out. He separated that. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the part of me that is freaking out isn't that helpful. You don't need to go to the gym. Come on. You've had a rough week. Sit on the couch. Eat some more chips. They're healthy. What was Jeff's line? Don't apologize to her. Make her come to you. Can you feel that voice? And Jesus walks up to the man who has this voice in his head who's saying, no, don't do this. Work out here. There's something wrong with you. All these voices that we have in our head. And Jesus says, hey, are you okay? Now, in the language of this time, there becomes a battle between good and evil. That's how they thought of these things. But then Jesus says something to him that I've never forgot. He looks at the man, and I don't know which one he's looking at, if it's the one who's paying attention or the one that's freaking out, and he says, what is your name? And the response is legion, a word that means many. There's two things that are going on here. Beautiful things. Things that only now we're starting to realize how it works in our brains. But Jesus did it way back then. The first thing he does is he names the thing that he's paying attention to. So there's, Jeff said, there's you, and there's a part of you that's freaking out. What do you call that part? If it's me, We collapse. I am freaking out. But there's a different way. So let me tell you a quick story. Grew up in a Mennonite family. Food's very important in Mennonite families. Running out of food is probably the worst thing that could happen in the entire world. If you have people over, you guys are chuckling. No, this is serious. If you run out of food at a dinner party that you're hosting, I swear, like lightning will hit you, you'll die instantly. I'm not sure what will happen. My mom instilled in us before we ever hosted anything, you cannot run out of food. When that voice is in my head, and it happened, we had the boys over for Easter. I'm buying steaks at Costco, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, don't be running out of food. You can't run out of food. Someone could die. When I'm unconscious, that's me. I am thinking about running out of food. But what Jesus did that was beautiful is he named that thing. Now I say, Mom's freaking out right now. In psychology, they call this externalizing. What it does is it creates, so Jeff got you here. If you name that thing, you can push you further. When I'm washing my car, I have a crappy old truck. It's always covered in dirt because I'm in the mountains. Washing my truck. And just as I'm like half splashing it off to kind of make it somewhat clean-ish, I can hear this voice from my dad saying, whatever you're doing, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. I'm like, ah, stupid. Put more money in that thing and start splashing it more, right? But if I say, oh, thanks, Dad. Yeah, I know. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. It's an old truck. It doesn't need to be clean. I can drive it dirty. So the first thing we do in the war is this. We start to create separation between us and the voice. Second thing Jesus taught us is often it's not a voice, it's voices. Do you know what the voices sound like? Can you differentiate between the different voices? My mom cared about running out of food. My dad cared about this. Scott Friesen, that swear word, I'll be nice to you guys today. When I was 12, I said something in a group setting and he laughed at me. And I swear to you, to this day, Scott Friesen is still in my head going, oh, don't say that. They'll laugh at you. Don't say that. They'll laugh at you. When Jesus asks them their name, says, our name is Legion. There's truth to that, isn't there? All these voices trying to get us to do different things. Pay attention. There's another story. Wisest king in the tradition. His name's Solomon. I'm going to go like this. Wisest. For those of you who are online, I'm air quoting. This guy seemed to have voices in his head. You know why I know? It's like, I'm going to change it how it works, but it's like you come to his house and he shows you his car, and then he shows you his second car, and then his third car, and his fourth car, and then you realize he has 300 cars, and you ask yourself, compensating much? For him, it was wives. I know, really weird. He collected... how am I going to say this? He collected wives? That's horrible. But that's how they saw it in those days. It said he had hundreds of wives, 1,000 wives. Why? He probably didn't even see half of them. But in his head, he had this voice that said, one more. Just one more. Then everything will be okay. It got so bad. The voices disconnected him from the kingdom. It tore his entire country apart. Because of the voice in his head. Have you asked yourself, what do those voices want? Do they want you to be holistically healthy? I'm telling you, my mom's voice couldn't give a rat's ass how much time I spend cooking, how much money we spend on food. It doesn't care about anything other than do not run out of food. My dad's voice doesn't care that I drive an old crappy truck that does not need to be clean. It will be back in the mountains again, dirty again. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Once you can create enough separation between you and the voices, and you can start to, you can do it by naming, you can do it by externalizing, and then you look at the voice and say, hey, what are you freaking out about? Anyone have that voice in their head? What does your voices want? Most often, they're not cared about balance in your life, holistic health. They're focusing you on one thing that they're freaking out about. If you look like this, if you say that, all it cares about is that. And the beauty is if you can look at it like Jeff said, the voice in his head, don't call your dad. What are you freaking out about? Well, I think maybe dad's disappointed in me. So let me get this straight. You're willing to let me never talk to my dad so that maybe if I do, I might feel disappointed? You're going to can our relationship because you're scared? Should we trust the voices to lead us to holistic and beautiful lives? One lady said it beautifully. She said, look, think of your life like a road trip. And you're in a car. The person who drives the car, who gets the steering wheel, that's the part of you that's aware, the conscious part. Those voices, don't let them take the steering wheel. Put them in the back seat. And do not let them pick the music.
Don't let them pick the music, that's for sure. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, don't give them power. Don't listen to them. But it's a whole nother thing sometimes to be able to stop their influence, to get separation. I remember when I started learning about the influence that my voices have over me, the way that it can convince me in times, or make me second guess. And I don't know, I mean, if you've ever done yoga, you know what this is like. If you're just trying to calm your mind, and they're just like, shh, breathe. And all of a sudden, man, that monkey mind kicks in, and you're like off thinking about what you're going to have for dinner, and this and that, and you're like, oh, no, just wait a second, I'm trying to... This is what these voices can be like. They just incessantly start pulling and speaking. How do you go about quieting them? Experts say that probably some of the best things we can do for them, at least to hold them at bay, is to just acknowledge them. Maybe your voice right now is just annoyed, or it's irritated, or it's thinking about other things right now. What if you were to just take a moment right now, right where you're at, and just think about what it's thinking and say, thank you. You're hungry. I get it. That person sitting in front of me is annoying. Okay. You're right. Annoying. You know what? I'm tired of sitting here, and I'm tired of Jeff talking. Just acknowledge it. I get it. Sitting at lunch today with family, and the brother starts talking again, and you can feel your blood starting to boil. Looking over and just going, what's the matter? I don't like it when he talks. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. I get it. There's a validation piece of the voice where you say, just like a child in the back seat of your car going, what's the matter? I'm hungry. Ah, you're hungry. Yeah. Tell you what. Let's do something about that, shall we? Yeah. Okay. So you got to sit down, pal. Put your seatbelt back on. Give me 5 minutes. We'll get you something to eat. And the voice calms. This is a lot. We're dealing with these voices. The ninja level happens when you're in the middle of whatever that thing is trying to get at your attention for. You acknowledge it. I hear you. You don't fight it. You don't criticize it. You don't beat yourself up because it, man, there it is doing its number again. No, thank it. And settle it down. That employee comes walking you off and gets you all riled up. Leaves. You're sitting there stewing. Shh. Notice the thing that's upset going, ah, yes, that was unfair what he just said, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have to deal with that. But I just need you to sit down in the back seat here for a second. And we'll get to this in a moment. Don't try to shut it down. Validate the concern. Acknowledge the fear, whatever it is that it's got you feeling. Acknowledge it. And then gently turn your attention away from it. This is more of the win-win that we've been talking about in this series. The raising all the boats. You try to go in hard on that voice and say, no, we're going to find peace through victory, and I'm going to make you shut up. No. Good luck with that. It's in this internal space where we begin to find the freedom to focus. Once you've acknowledged it, you've said, hey, sit down. I'll be right back. All of a sudden, the space between thoughts starts to be created. You want to talk about freedom. You want to talk about peace within the war, within. There lies the beginning of that moment.
What a beautiful way to look at it. How many times have I tried to put my boot on the neck of that voice in my head going, shut up. And it just gets louder. To say, hey, I hear you. And there's one step our spiritual ancestors understood. It's not just I hear you. I hear the moment from our past that freaked you out. That voice, Scott, frees into my head. Do not say something. They will laugh at you. That moment when I was 15 is still with me at 52. That voice is going, okay, but Vince, but that could happen any moment now. It's almost like the past and the present collapse. It happened. It just happened. They just laughed at you. It's going to happen again. Our spiritual ancestors understood that we need to figure out a way to deal with that past. They had this thing. They brought us all together, like we're going to do. We're going to do our own version. Yeah, it's going to be those papers. That's why you're sitting on them. They basically took a bunch of things and they said, write down the moment that that voice is referencing. That time you said that thing with all those people. That's what my voice keeps. Okay, but then they laughed at you when you said that. Write down the thing that the voice is using as fodder to freak out. I swear my mom probably at some point ran out of food. I don't know. Maybe it was her mother or her mother's mother or some Mennonite mother in our past ran out of food. Write it down. Write it down on the piece of paper. And then they said, we're going to take a goat and we're going to tie it all to the goat. I have no clue how they did that, but let's just assume they had horns and they put it on the horns because I have no clue. Anyways, goat gone, out into the wilderness. The symbol is that you say to the voice, I hear you. And that moment you're freaked out about is gone now. It's not here. Okay, but what? I know. It's gone. You're free. In the Christian tradition, they swapped out the goat and they used the story of Jesus. Jesus would die on the cross for your sins. If you're traditional, it means one thing. The way we take it is this. All the fodder that those voices are using, all your failures, all the times you screwed up, all the times that the voice is trying to protect you from that thing happening again, put that on the cross. Let it go. Yeah, I did run out of food, and it's okay. One time, I didn't wash my truck properly. As I was sitting here, I realized I'm gonna have to put it on because I'm still thinking about it. What is the fodder those voices are saying? The ritual said, put those away and find freedom.
Yeah, so here we are, 2024, no goats. And nobody on a cross dying for our mistakes, but we have the opportunity in this moment to be able to engage in this ritual. If you've done this before, and maybe we've done different versions of this every year at this time, we normally grab the piece of paper that's and a pencil that's around you on a chair, we begin to write down. This morning, I would invite you to think deeply about the voice that has your number most. Now, I know some people here, just based on the sample size, the number of people that I talk to that really are not aware that the voice in their head is doing a number on them. They didn't even know they had one. I was there. So there's probably some people here that are going, wait a second, how does that work? There are some people here, though, this morning, you are very well acquainted with your voice, or voices, legion. You know the ones that just have that way of dysregulating you, wigging out, worried, fearful, angry, emotional. I'm going to invite you this morning to take a crack at describing that voice on that piece of paper. And this morning as the band plays, you can just write what it sounds like. What does it say? When does it freak out? What does it get you worried about? This, I'm telling you, the moment when all of a sudden I figured out there is something interacting with who I am, and it's doing things to me. When I began to wake up to that, it was the start of something truly life-changing. And the moment when I began to name my voice, where it is coming from, what it sounds like, that was the start of my freedom from those voices. This morning, as a band plays, I invite you to write that down. Vince went outside. He started up the burn barrel. What we do is we just fold up that piece of paper. You can rip it into 100 pieces if you don't want anyone reading that. You know what's on that page or on that little card. But it's an opportunity for you today, just like our ancestors for years have taken their stuff and put it on this goat, sent it out into the wilderness to die as a symbol of their ability to say, I have distance from that thing now. I can live separately from that. It is dead to me. Now, it doesn't literally die. The voice is always going to be there. But your ability to gain separation from it gives you freedom over it. As you write this morning, I invite you to be honest with yourself. It's all you need to be. And then after we're all done here, you can march it outside, drop it in that barrel. And as a symbol of your own journey, freedom, toward freedom, spiritual freedom, you can watch that thing burn. We do dare you to move this morning. We dare you to make change. I don't know about you. I got my card ready. In fact, I just recognized another voice in my head this morning. Got a plethora of them. Anyways, it's been talking to me lately, and I'm ready to burn this one. If you are, we invite you to head back. I see the barrels smoking away. So, yeah, feel free on your way out. Thank you for joining us this Easter Sunday morning. And again, if you're new here, we invite you to, if you have questions, we'd love to answer them. We'd love to meet you. But feel free to linger around, and then on your way out, you can drop your thing in the barrel. All right. Happy Easter, folks. Have a great day.